Husky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Thursday night, 800-222-5222 is the number here. And of course, what do I think about this? Comey, about 3 hours of testimony earlier today. Very, very carefully watched by everyone, including yours truly. Now, I resisted the impulse to give real-time feedback on this. Plus, I was traveling, so that impaired some of that. And I've taken some time here to step back from it. And you've got to understand, first and foremost, the obstruction case is gone. It's gone. I mean, I know you've heard a lot of people talking on the radio about, well, this is just the beginning. And from here on out, Trump's in trouble. There's blood in the water. The takeaway here is Trump is there's just nothing here that amounts to an obstruction charge. I saw, and I couldn't catch the name, but in passing, I saw some congressman on TV talking about how there's still obstruction of justice. And I was just, the guy's a lawyer. The elements of obstruction of justice not met, and I'll take you through it and tell you what people are saying about it, and even Comey's own words. The other thing that really struck me immediately about this is that, what do you know? Trump, for as much as Comey called him a liar and thinks he's a horrible person, thought Trump was a horrible person before they met. This is really crucial. But in spite of that, Comey repeatedly told Trump that he was not under investigation. Repeatedly. So even though Trump's a giant liar, at least according to Comey, that part of Trump's statement about their meetings was at least seems to be 100% truthful. Now, why did Comey not get up and say, hey, Trump's not under investigation? Other people are. I cannot further comment beyond that. Trump asked him repeatedly to clear him. And the best part about this is, of course, Comey has a history of clearing people, doesn't he? Well, he did. He cleared Hillary just fine. He had no problem taking over what was then still an active investigation led by his boss, Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And he talked about this in his testimony, very concerned about the optics of having Loretta Lynch compromised by her meeting with Bill Clinton on the tarmac there at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. So Comey thinks that there's a conflict, there is a problem. What does he do? He gets up and he exonerates Hillary. Well, then he says, well, Trump's got a conflict. He's asking me to clear Flynn, and he's asking me to do this stuff. So what does he do? He leaks a memo that, in my opinion, I'm going to explain this, is work product, is FBI work product. He leaks a memo to his little buddy, law professor at Columbia, in a hope that there's a special prosecutor appointed. So I don't want to hear anything about Trump and Comey here about these being, well, at least Comey being some kind of an independent player. Neither one of them are independent players in this. They each have their own agendas. They each are their own people, and they're both political. Well, I'll let that sink in for a minute. The admission that Comey had used his friend to leak out the memo, that the leaker, the person that we've been talking about this whole time, it was Comey himself. It's a stunning admission. And I'll tell you that the a lot of people on the right I want to make this thing about Comey. Comey is really, this is the big picture here, is Comey's a non-issue. I mean, Comey, look, he's out. He's gone. He's a dude that got fired. And in my opinion, Trump botched the firing bigly, okay? But this what this is. It's a botched firing. He fires Comey, then he gives a bunch of different odd reasons for why Comey was let go. Never, ever, ever, if you intend to fire somebody, if you're listening right now, you got to fire somebody this week. First of all, you're running out of time because it's Thursday night. And two, take it from me, you don't give them a reason. That's it. It's an at-will state, California, right? You can fire somebody. You don't need a reason to fire them. It's like a divorce proceeding. It's no-fault divorce. You just don't give a reason. Irreconcilable differences. There it is. Bam. You just say, hey, it's time we go our separate ways. Because apparently this is really what pissed Comey off. I mean, he was incensed over the fact that Trump was saying different things. And it doesn't matter if it was truthful or not. He claims it's an out-and-out lie. He claims that he was, well, let's hear exactly what it is that he says. Because he does this in his opening statement. And he talks exactly about these reasons, okay? But have a listen. Listen closely.
Although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple. And I am so sorry that the FBI workforce had to hear them, and I'm so sorry that the American people were told them.
When I saw him and I heard him say that, it was an aha moment for me. First aha, Trump should never have given any reasons, because now he has got a place to hang his butt hurt on, right? That's what this is. Nobody likes to get fired. Nobody likes to get dumped. Nobody likes to get, you know, be the person to, you know, to be split up. People do not like rejection. Period. So you don't engage them in any, you don't add any emotional fuel to an already difficult and volatile situation. Being fired from a prominent position like the FBI, and you'll hear, throughout the testimony, he repeatedly said how he missed the FBI. It was the greatest pleasure of his life. I think he loved the gig. He was Mr. Big, Mr. Important, top law enforcement official. Flew around on private jets. It was a great life. You know, it's a tremendous demotion to go from FBI director to unemployed. Comey was not happy about it. And so, if it had just been there and Trump could have resisted the urge to say anything and to comment about it and to give reasons, and whoever it was, whether, you know, this was a botched communications job, Trump plays his role in it. And so Comey was pissed about it. But the other part of it, the other part that you have to comment on here is when you hear people today talking about Trump got called out for being a liar. He is a liar. This is momentous. We have a sitting president getting accused by an ex-FBI director of being a liar. I mean, look, this is a guy that got canned and is saying my boss is lying about the reasons that he canned me. And by the way, right, you've got it's undisputed by Comey and other experts. Free and clear, Trump could have just canned him, no good reason, no fault, walk away, it's done. And it should have been left there. So it's fascinating to me how the lie, this is it. The lie is the reason for the firing. That's it. That's the big lie, according to Comey. But don't worry. That was just the opening statement. So what else happened? Well, by the way, you know, the leak. So he uses his friend. He's got this professor and they've been friends for 30 years. So this is one of Comey's homies. Now we've talked about these people. So he's there. He shows him, but only a part of the memo. Very strategic. It's the part of the memo that details their meeting that they'd had, where Trump is trying to exert some influence over dropping the Flynn investigation. Hey, could you do me a favor? Can we get this thing worked out? So he gets pushed on this. Comey gets pushed on this part of it because that's the obstruction case. That is it. Did Trump actually obstruct an investigation? Did he? What kind of pressure? We want to know. What kind of pressure did he put on Comey to dispose of the FBI investigation into Flynn and others? And it's really interesting because you have Marco Rubio went into this with him. And he says, he quotes the testimony that was released the night before. And he says, hey, so in the testimony that you released, the first thing you say is, this is Marco Rubio to Comey earlier today. The first thing you say is that he, Trump, asked what we could do to, quote unquote, lift the cloud. Right. This is the heart of the obstruction case. Right. Lift the cloud into the Russia investigation. And you responded, well, we're investigating the matter as quickly as we can, and there would be great benefit if we didn't find anything for him having done the work, et cetera, et cetera. And he agreed. Trump agreed. Now, this is, again, Rubio paraphrasing what Comey testified to in his written testimony. He, Trump, agreed it would be great to have an investigation, that all the facts would come out and then we'd find nothing. He agreed that would be ideal. But he then said, you know, hey, the cloud's still messing up my ability to do the rest of my agenda. And then Rubio asks, is this accurate? Because all this is, there's no obstruction case in the way it's phrased here. None, zip, not even, forget a legal definition. I think just a reasonable human, hey, does this pass the smell test? Nothing here. This is nothing. Listen to Comey's response. This is key.
He actually went farther than that. He said, and if some of my satellites did something wrong, it'd be good to find that out.
This is crucial. And that was just a little throwaway line. And nothing happened after that. And nobody followed up on it. And I haven't heard anything about it all day today. He went farther than that. He said, if some of my satellites, meaning his people on his team, did something wrong, it'd be good to find out. And this, you know, we're talking about this producer, Robbie, before the show as we're getting things put together. And we have different, here on Sam Nation, not everybody is an ardent Make America Great person. You know, we have a motley crew here. And we're talking about this. And the agreement here among us, some more reasonable than am I, people in the room, I'll leave it at that, are saying, look, this is the most important piece of the entire testimony. Because it shows that you got a guy. And by the way, he felt compelled to say that. I mean, he could have left it at a yes, sir. So this must have been important. And it is important. And if he's saying this, you understand why. I mean, you've got a guy who's got, he wants the investigation done. He looks at it. Trump did nothing wrong. He's not a subject of the investigation. Comey confirms this. If you're Trump, you've done nothing wrong. Just picture this for a minute. How frustrating is it to you that this thing just keeps dragging on? That things are, you know, drip, drip, dripping out. So you say, look, if my people are involved in any way, if there are issues here, get to the bottom of it. Clean it up. I want to move on with my agenda. And that, I have to tell you, that is not only does none of this fit into the legal definition of obstruction, it doesn't fit into any reasonable assessment that in any way, shape, or form could be construed as a guy trying to interfere with anything. He's just telling him, get to the bottom of it. And he wants his name cleared, which again, bizarrely, Comey refuses to do. Again, no problem. No problem doing that for Loretta Lynch. Gets up, exonerates Hillary, you know, when there's a conflict there. But as soon as there is a conflict with Trump and he sees this, what does he do? He leaks that memo. He leaks that memo in hopes of getting that special prosecutor. I'm going to give you the exact point in time where that happens. I'll get it right to it right when we come back. We're out of time, but be back in a few minutes.
Talk radio, talk radio. 790 KABC.
You know, I told you on Wednesday that the whole buildup to Comey's testimony was going to be something like a bad movie with a really good trailer. You remember that? And so I think they build this really as a movie that was just going to destroy Trump. And instead, it was this thing where Trump kind of got lost in this whole, potpourri of other really salacious details. Like the whole Loretta Lynch thing where, Obama's attorney general went to Comey and said, all right, so, talk to me about the Hillary Clinton investigation. And Comey says, look, we've got to go public with this. People are asking us. The candidates themselves are talking about it. You remember during the election, Hillary was talking about it. She was using all sorts of euphemistic language, like a security review. Remember that? The security review. And so Comey says to Lynch, I go, we're going to have to address this. I mean, we're starting to look silly. Can we confirm that there is an investigation? And Lynch said, no. Say that it's a matter. It's an email matter. So, turn the thing around. I always look at this. If this is good for one guy, is it good for the other? Imagine if Attorney General Jeff Sessions had instructed Comey to call this thing a matter and not an investigation. I mean, the media would literally be front page news for months. And right now, if this is something that he had testified to today, it would be the lead piece in everything that we have, because it would show that you've got the political arm of the Justice Department, the Attorney General, influencing the independence, this vaunted, much talked about, very sacred now that Trump is in office, independence of the FBI lead law enforcement officer, the head of the FBI. So you just turn it around and it makes no sense. Look, the most important thing now with all of this all being said, and is the Democrats still are going to pursue this. They're going to chase this like dogs chase a car with cans attached to the bumper, because this isn't about finding a resolution to an investigation. It's not about getting an answer. It's about dragging this on so that it creates political damage and stalls Trump's agenda. What's going on? If Trump wants to get tax reform done, if he wants to pass health care, if he wants to push forward a meaningful foreign policy, all these things get held up. Whatever part of it needs to be done in Congress gets held up with the stink of a nothing investigation. But the Democrats know this. And I got the best example that I can give you of this is the Gang of Eight that Comey references. Now, I'll get the clip for you so you hear it from his own mouth. You remember the Marco Rubio quip? Maybe you didn't hear this. Marco Rubio made a joke. Little Marco came to Trump's defense. I have a listen. This is their exchange.
You know, this investigation is full of leaks left and right. I mean, we've learned more from the newspapers sometimes than we do from our open hearings, for sure. You ever wonder why, of all the things in this investigation, the only thing that's never been leaked is the fact that the president was not personally under investigation, despite the fact that both Democrats and Republicans and the leadership of Congress knew that and have known that for weeks?
I don't know. I find matters that are briefed to the Gang of Eight are pretty tightly held, in my experience.
Exactly. Everyone in the media is focusing on Marco's little joke here. Oh, this is funny. It's like the only thing that didn't leak here is the fact that, Trump wasn't under investigation. And he goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Comey goes, yeah, but things that are briefed to the Gang of Eight, which are the leadership of the House, leadership of the Senate, leadership of the two intelligence committees, that didn't get out. And Comey goes, yeah, I find, you know, that is pretty tightly held. And yet, the Democrats, they're on that Gang of Eight, there are four leadership Democrats, Pelosi, Warren, Schumer, right? These are all people that aggressively have been pushing this case against Trump, even though they've been briefed on it. They knew he wasn't a part of it. Such a joke. All right, John Wolf's going to fill us in with more, and I'll be back after that.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, back talking about Comey's testimony on the Hill today in the Senate. And, well, a couple of things. So, first of all, clearly he told Trump repeatedly that he was not under investigation, so confirmed what Trump had mentioned in the letter that he had written to Comey, the now famous termination letter. Trump had asked Comey to clear him publicly, and Comey refused to do that. And then Comey, when he was upset that Trump had given a variety of different reasons for him being fired, one of them being that Trump had said that, you know, that the FBI was in disarray, and that, you know, that Comey hadn't been doing a good job. That's when Comey lost his mind and said, "That's it. I've got some memos." And these memos apparently are ones that he had written for him, had written himself, and he started writing. Maybe nine or ten of them had started writing after the first request to meet with Trump. And he explains why he did this. Do you know why he did this? Had to pull it out from the bottom of the stack. Yeah, he gets asked, why did you make these memos? Comey goes, well, it's a combination of things. The circumstances, and he talks about being alone with the president-elect. So this is even before the inauguration. The subject matter, and knowing that there was perhaps this investigation going on, right? And then the person I was interacting with. The impression I had of Comey's testimony now and some of his other both press conferences and Q&A sessions, we'll call them, on the Hill, he's kind of a sanctimonious guy. He's smug and he sees himself as a keeper of some sort of righteous flame. He drops a little hint about this when Angus King, Maine senator, had asked him about how Comey took it when the president said, "Hey, I hope that you can, you know, drop this investigation or get through it," or whatever it was. "I hope," or "I suggest." And these are important words because they're really not coercive, not in plain English, at least. But the Democrats on the committee are trying to make a big story out of it. You know, and so Angus King says, "Do you take that as a directive?" Meaning, "Hey, I hope you can do this. Do you take it as a directive?" Comey replies, "Yes, it rings in my ear as well. Well, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest? So this is a reference, I think, to Henry II. Henry II, he said, who will rid me of the meddlesome priest, right? And this is, then he ends up murdering the priest. It's kind of a religious historical reference, but he's making himself out to be the good guy, the keeper of righteousness, who is staring down an evil and authoritative leader, the king, likening Trump to Henry II. That's what it is. It's what it is, and there's absolutely zero love lost from the very beginning. Comey loathes Trump, and a lot of it, I have to tell you, is not. It's not the consequence of anything that Trump has done to Comey. The only mistake Trump made is keeping Comey on it in the beginning, letting him stay on. And then the clumsy, terribly clumsy firing, which, you know, should have been handled a lot more neatly. All right. Well, we're having fun, aren't we? Good stuff. I still have more, so don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Thomas Beckett, I couldn't get my name on, my mind wrapped around it here with everything going on, but that was the reference that Comey was making. Beckett was the Archbishop of Canterbury. Henry II had put his name in, nominated him for the position, appointed him to the position, and expected loyalty from him. It expected him to put matters of state, and thereby matters of the king, important to the king, ahead of his own personal interests. But he became became a very religious guy and started opposing the king. Stop me if any of this sounds familiar, at least if you're inside Comey's head, right? Starts opposing the king, and Henry II sends a squad of goons to lop his head off. So that's how Comey sees himself. Trump set a squad of goons to lop his head off, and then did it very publicly and humiliated him and the good men and women of the FBI. I'll tell you, I don't. A lot of people at the FBI, and there are agents among us, right? People I've talked to, you know, they all see Comey as a very, the ones I've talked to, that's a select group. I don't know, no leaks, just their own personal gut check on what they thought of Comey as director. He was big into a lot of political correct crap. That's what they said. He was big on diversity. He pushed a lot of diversity initiatives. Didn't crack down the way they'd wanted to on the whole Black Lives Matter movement. You know, the agents out there are cops, and they're super cops. So you got a lot of FBI agents. They're not political people. They carry a gun. They have a badge, and they want to investigate crime. And they got into the FBI because, I don't know, they watched, you know, Elliot Ness movies and things like that. And that's what they want to do. And they got the guy at the top who's blabbing on in endless training videos, you know, about morale and about, you know, inclusiveness and about race and policing and things like that. They're going, what the hell are you talking about? No one's challenging Comey's assertion in his testimony where he says, I was loved. Everybody thought this is nonsense. The president said that I wasn't, that, you know, the morale was bad. In Trump's view, I still stand by the fact that Trump shouldn't have gotten into any reasons. But in Trump's head, he is a law and order guy. He is a Mr. Blue Line, right? I mean, and he was the law and order candidate. So for him, a guy like Comey not part of the Trump, you know, agenda. And I'm not surprised that a Trump's view, if he had talked to some people within the agency, would have heard things like this and gone, no, this is crap, and we need fresh leadership. I'm giving you something that really isn't being talked about out there, and I think it's at least worth considering. But he shouldn't have gotten into any of it. Bad move. Yet you never want to antagonize somebody in a situation like that and give them any more reason to get back at you. One of the things that is now widely being talked about too is that Trump has a right to interfere in investigations. Alan Dershowitz, who's a Harvard, now emeritus law professor, retired Harvard law professor, big civil libertarian, no Trumpist. Okay, this guy's a liberal Democrat. He said something quite interesting about it. Have a listen to his explanation on there's two issues here that he's talking about. He's talking about the obstruction, but also, well, have a listen to what Alan Dershowitz here says. Neil Cavuto, this was earlier today.
Comey did something very good, I thought, and very right today. He said unequivocally, for the first time it's ever been said by a public official, agreed with what I've been saying for the last several months, namely the president has the authority to direct the head of the FBI to stop investigating anyone. According to Comey, Comey says it is clear under the Constitution the president can decide who should be prosecuted, who shouldn't be prosecuted, who should be investigated, who shouldn't be investigated. I've been saying this for months, and everybody has been criticizing me for saying it, and now you have the director of the FBI saying the same thing. So I think this puts an end to any claim that President Trump obstructed justice. You can't obstruct justice by simply exercising your power under the Constitution.
None of this, of course, was heard by Dan Rather, and I will play you an insane clip when we come back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here. Oh, I just got back from Miami, was there overnight. There is some crazy driving in Miami. I when I was driving to the airport earlier today, I will tell you this. Pretty epic. Too bad they don't have Sweet James out there because they would probably need him. Well, that's it. I mean, we got that kind of driving here too, though, don't we? A lot of aggressive people on their phones, texting, doing Snapchat, tweeting, doing their hair, putting on makeup. And that's just the guys. No, it happens. So don't, you're going to get, if you, this is the main thing is if you get hurt, if you get rear-ended out there, somebody doing something stupid, make sure you have the right person on your team to get you out of it. And navigate the whole mess with insurance. Don't go at it alone. Attorney Sweet James Bergner has been doing this for a long time. He knows what he's doing. He's passionate about getting his clients the justice that they deserve. And he's just going to make sure that you don't become a victim twice. You know, don't have the accident happen and then the insurance company take advantage of you and violate your rights. Give James a call. His phone number, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, back here on KABC 790. So when I told you that the Democrats are not going to let this go, you have got to hear what Dan Rather has to say about this. Because this, I know he's a kook, but this is a guy who's in the media, who is one of the chief antagonists of the president. And here is what he says about, well, he's on Hardball with Chris Matthews. And this is the entire position of the Democrats. Have a listen.
There's no other way to read this, I think, than this is a code red situation for the Trump presidency, an emergency situation that's not going to go away, and therefore it's a code red situation for the country. This is a cloud over the presidency. It's going to remain a cloud over the presidency. There'll be this and that said about it. For example, Comey's attorney said today, well, there's no smoking gun. Well, there may not be any smoking gun, but there's a red hot gun barrel. And given other information that we know and ongoing investigations, that barrel is going to get nothing but hotter.
Code red for America. But in this insanity is a very important phrase. Because Rather says this is a cloud over the presidency. And it's going to remain a cloud over the presidency. See, here's the deal. Democrats lost the election, fair and square. We heard today the Russians didn't go in and change any votes. They didn't go in and tamper with any machines. According to Comey, and I have my doubts about this, but there was some giant concerted effort to help Trump, to sow seeds of discontent, to tarnish Democratic Party people's reputations. But really, at the end of the day, and we've talked about this to death over here, is the Democrats ran a terrible candidate that the Democratic Party itself didn't want. And they're, you know, I hear so much in all of this discussion about investigating Flynn and others. What was the purpose behind it? Comey talked about it today. He says it's because we don't want foreign agents to have anything potentially compromising about these people in government. Well, let us remind ourselves that the Democratic Party, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Podesta, Hillary, all had hugely compromising information. Namely, that they stole the election from Bernie, who everybody loved. And she, on top of all that, plus being a completely unlikable human being, lost. But that is nothing that the Dems want to talk about. So it's all about this cloud, this red hot cloud. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night at 7. Talk to you then.
Talk Radio 790. KABC.